answers. This is answers by citing the Lord's version, 2nd Canto, chapter 9, text 2. The illusion living entity appears in so many forms offered by the external energy of the Lord. While enjoying in the modes of material nature, the encaged living entity misconceives thinking in terms of I and mine. Can you repeat that one? The illusion living entity appears in so many forms offered by the external energy of the Lord. While enjoying in the modes of material nature, the encaged living entity misconceives thinking in terms of I and mine. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The different forms of the living entities are different dresses offered by the illusory external energy of the Lord according to the modes of nature the living being desires to enjoy. The external energy is represented by her three modes, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. So even in the material nature, there is a chance of an independent choice by the living entity. And according to his choice, the material energy offers him different varieties of material bodies. There are 900,000 varieties of material bodies in the water. There are 2 million vegetable bodies, 1,100,000 worms and reptiles, 1 million forms of birds, 3 million different kinds of beasts, and 400,000 human forms. Altogether, there are 8,400,000 varieties of bodies in different planets of the universe, and the living entity is traveling by so many transmigrations according to different modes of material enjoying spirit within himself. Even in one particular body, the living entity changes from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to youth, and from youth to old age, and from old age to another body created by his own action. The living entity creates his own body by his personal desires, and the external energy of the Lord supplies him with the exact form by which he can enjoy his desires to the fullest extent. The tiger wanted to enjoy the blood of another animal, and therefore, by the grace of the Lord, the material energy supplied him the body of a tiger with facilities for enjoying blood from another animal. Similarly, a living entity desiring to get a body of a demigod on a higher planet can also get it by the grace of the Lord. And if he is intelligent enough, he can desire to get a spiritual body to enjoy the company of the Lord, and he will get it. So the minute freedom of the living entity can be fully utilized. And the Lord is so kind that he will award the living entity the same type of body he wants. The living entity's desiring is like dreaming of a golden mountain. The person knows what a mountain is, and he knows what gold is. Out of his desire only, he dreams of a golden mountain. And when the dreams are over, he sees something else in his presence. He finds in his awakened state that there is neither gold nor a mountain, what to speak of a golden mountain. The different positions of the living entities in the material world offer multifarious manifestations of bodies are due to the misconception of mine and I. The karmi thinks of this world as mine, and the gyani thinks I am everything. The whole material conception of politics, sociology, philanthropy, altruism, etc., conceived by the conditioned souls, is on the basis of this misconceived I and mine, which are products of a strong desire to enjoy the material life. Identification with the body and place where the body is obtained under different conceptions of socialism, nationalism, family affection, and so on, is all due to the forgetfulness of the real nature of the living entity, and the whole misconception of the bewildered living entity can be removed by the association of Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, as all of this is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Janangana Shalakaya Chaksuru Militanena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Swaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajujatam Sahagana Shri Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sabarutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Ansha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha. Desire is the key. Whatever Krishna is the wish fulfills all desires. So whatever condition we're in, the only complaint we should worry about is that we want to correct our desires so we don't keep getting into unpleasant. <'Cause coughs> we have so many desires. The conditioned soul is Bahu Shaka, his mind is everywhere. And everywhere there's something to try to agitate us to want more things. Naturally, the lust is there, and then we're being taught from childhood, you need this, you should get this, you want to do that. And so we have so many desires, and Krishna has to fulfill all those desires. Then ultimately, there's different species of life where one can get what he wants, although we may not think that, you know, I want to become a pig or something, but we want to live like a pig in a human body. That's probably. So this aham mameti, it is I and it is mine, this is mentioned many, many times. There's another verse here in the fifth chapter. Vilajamana nayayasya Shatum iksha pate muya Vimohita vikaktante mamahamiti durdaya. So it says the illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedent, being ashamed of her position. But those who are bewildered by her always talk nonsense, being absorbed in thoughts of it is I and it is mine. So the Maya, it stays behind Krishna. So for one who keeps Krishna in front, then Maya doesn't, she's humbled, she's ashamed. She has this job to bewilder everyone. It's her service to Krishna. It's unpleasant for her. Ultimately, if someone really surrenders to Krishna, then he tells Maya, "You, instead of harassing this person, now you help them." And the material energy will also become the servant of the devotee. But if we want Maya, she's right there. And it begins with this, it is I and it is mine. Srimad Bhagavatam also, Pumsa Sriya, Maitri Bhava Metam, Atap Griha Kshetra Satapta Vitaya, Ahamma Meti. First is the attraction of man and woman, then you need a house and so many things, and then it is I and it is mine. I am this body and all these things are mine. These children are mine, this house is mine, and some people are bigger and bigger, and this country is mine. Hiranyakashipu thought the whole world was his, the whole universe was his. He was really big. But most of us, the universe is very small. This maybe are, and some people it's just their dog or something. But they're thinking, it is mine. I am this body, and these things are mine. But that is the illusion. That's what we have to get rid of. Cannot renounce anything because we don't have anything. Everything really belongs to Krishna. So the only thing we can renounce is this false idea that it's mine. That's our problem. We don't really, nothing really belongs to us. It's temporarily in our possession. This body or whatever we have, because we have to leave this body. So whatever devotional service we've done, when we leave this body, that will go with us to the next body. But whatever material work we've done, Jai Shri Nisingadev Ki Jai. Wow. Huge Tulsi Garland. Did he get new eyebrows, or did he always have those eyebrows? Huh? They're new, right? Huh? In Mayapur, he got new teeth. One devotee is a dentist. He made teeth, big teeth. And when he sent them to the laboratory to make them, you know, he made the model. They said, you know, this person has a really bad overbite or something. You sure you want him like this? Because Nisingadev in Mayapur, his mouth's very big with big teeth, big sharp teeth. I don't know what they were thinking. But some human had those teeth. So you can think that Krishna is mine. Everyone can think that. That's bona fide. He is yours. But nothing else. This body is not mine. I have it for some time. It's on loan or rent or whatever. You know, due to my previous desires, I was born in a certain family and I got a certain type of body. And someone else got another type. But we don't have permanent possession of it. And even the Bhagavatam discusses it. Who really owns the body? You know, sometimes someone is a slave. And so who owns their body? They don't have any say over. Or in many countries, the government can just come and say, you have to go in the military and go to war. We need your body, right? If you even have a job, then how much do you, then you have to do what they tell you. The body is theirs. And ultimately then, the dead body, who does that belong to? To the earth, or to the worms, or to the birds, or the fish, or, you know, wherever they throw the body, right? If you know, or to the fire, then the body, what becomes ashes, or it becomes bird stool, or it becomes, you know, dog stool or something, whatever happens to the body. Even the Bible, you know, they teach everybody, but nobody understands. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. The body is made out of the earth and then it goes back in one way or another. So even when it's alive, who really owns it? We don't have complete freedom over it. And the material energy, you know, affects it. So there are many, many different types of bodies one can get. They're all just to fulfill various desires. Prabhupada just gives simple examples, and some, you know, it's hard to think, well, what kind of desire someone has to become a mosquito or something. But there's many, we see people, they just want to make trouble for other people, want to bother people. And mosquitoes also, they say they have lots of sex. But after the sex, the female kills the male. So it's not really such nice, you know. But these things, somehow or other, Krishna understands perfectly all the different, desires and how they all work together and what comes out. No supercomputer, anything could ever figure it out. But Krishna knows. So one may have to take many, many different bodies to fulfill, so many different types of desires. So one, we should work on the desire, hankering. And we have many examples, especially in the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur. Some of them are just called, under the label of hankering. They're teaching what a devotee should be wanting. Especially, Kabe Habe Bolo, Sayyidi Nama, Aparadi Guchi, Shivanami Ruchi, Kripa Bolo Habe, Rida Yekanchar, Bhakti Vinoda, singing. When will that day be mine? When will your mercy shine? And when will I give up offenses? The offenses will decrease and the taste for the name will increase. And at the end of that, he has many verses. When will I be like a madman chanting on the banks of the Ganga, rolling on the ground, eating the remnants of chandalas, and giving up all material desires? I don't want wealth, I don't want fame or beauty or followers. And then he's saying, when will I give up all desire for my own comfort? And set out to preach the mission of Lord Chaitanya, the Guru. So desire is there. The Mayavadis, by speculation, intelligent speculation, and observe that material desires cause trouble. Because either we don't get what we want, then we become angry and frustrated, right? Depressed. Or we get what we want, and then we just want more. And eventually, you want so much, you can't get it. So they see that even getting what you want, that usually it turns out it doesn't satisfy you as much as you expected either, right? Everybody's experienced that. I know as a child, so many things I wanted so bad, and you cry, and your parents get it for you, and then don't care about it. It's not what it looked like in the advertisement on the television, right? When you get the PF Flyer shoes, you can't really jump, so high. When you get the Michael Jordan shoes, you can't really jump up like him and drop the ball in the basket. But the kids are thinking from the commercial that they will get so many things, and everybody's thinking like that. I'm going to get so much satisfaction, and then they don't get it. So they think, okay, the ideal would be no desires. Don't think of anything, because thinking causes distress. Don't have any relationships with anyone or anything, because it causes distress. So they want to turn into a zero, a nothing. So they have some idea, but they have no understanding of purified desire, and purified relationships, and purified enjoyment, which is what the real life is. We are in the perverted world of desire and enjoyment, and relationships is nothing but distress. Because even the so-called pleasure has an opposite side of distress will come as a result. But the Bhagavatam and the Bhakti process is teaching us that we can utilize our senses in a purified way. We can talk about Krishna. We can see the beautiful form of Krishna. And he very kindly is revealing himself more and more now all over the world. Pictures of Krishna are everywhere, becoming more and more popular. Somebody in America, I don't know who made it, but of course, because Indian influence, but they make even these little lunch boxes for the school children, and they have pictures of Krishna, pictures of Durga, different things. They made little nightlight you know, you plug in and it's supposed to picture Krishna lights up. Somebody in Thailand, they make all those shirts, and, you know, Krishna, all the Indian demigods also. But Krishna, somehow or other, many, they don't even know anything what Krishna is, but somehow they're just popular. But that's only a very beginning. But the senses should be utilized. You can taste nice prasadam, you can use your intelligence to think of different ways to serve Krishna. This is what human life is meant for. Then we'll head towards the spiritual body, which is perfectly suited just for serving Krishna. If someone is just thinking how to eat meat, you know, then there's so many different animals which are meat-eating, have good facility for killing, tearing apart the flesh. But like a tiger, the examples there, they eat meat. But they don't eat very often, the lion and the tiger. They're hunting most. They eat, when they do catch something, they eat so much and they sleep for a long time. And then they wake up and then they have to hunt again, and it's not easy to. It's not like the animals just come and sacrifice themselves. They have to catch one. And most of the time the ones they're after get away. That's it. You know, the position, violent mode of passion. So we want to understand, and we can say Krishna is mine. He's the Lord of everyone. And he's conquered by love, so you cannot control Krishna by any other means. No one can have enough money to bribe Krishna. No one can be so beautiful that, you know, just Krishna will become controlled, bewildered like an ordinary person would. No one can be so intelligent more than Krishna. Hiranyakashipu was very intelligent. He thought he covered everything. But Prabhupada said, God is always more intelligent. So we have to pray to purify the desires. And when we have desires which we keep popping up that are not conducive to serving Krishna, then we should reject, throw out. So please, Krishna, take away this madness. And by associating with devotees who are desiring more, you know, Krishna, want to serve Krishna, by hearing about great devotees who had purified desire, then we can also develop. By associating with mundane people that have so many desires and talk about it all the time, ultimately it all ends in sex desire, that we might also get bewildered and have those same kind of desires. And then it will be hard to chant. If we're desiring Krishna and desiring service, that's what the Hare Krishna mantra means. Oh Krishna, I want to serve you. So if we don't want to serve Krishna, we want to serve Maya, then it won't be easy to chant. Or we are chanting but we don't want to serve, then Krishna won't. That's not proper, that's not loving. To be calling out, let me serve you, let me serve you, let me serve you, and then when the opportunity comes, we say, well, no, not, I don't want to do that service. Or not right now, I can't do it now, I have to do something. So then Krishna will see that we're not really interested. Maham mameti mamaham iti manyate. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, what is it? Nothing is mine anyway. Nirmamo nirahankara. Nothing is mine and I'm not this body. That's Krishna's teaching. Same thing. That's one way to check accuracy of something if you find many different references give the same information. So when we read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, any Vedic scripture, we'll find the same information is there in all of them. Sometimes something appears to be contradictory, but that is not really contradictory when one understands Krishna. And it's a test to see if one has faith. You know, everybody has faith in something. Most people put all their faith in their mind, and they're strict followers of their mind. But the mind is flickering and unsteady and always changing. So it's not a very good master. It'll just drag us here and there. So we have, everyone I'm sure heard that our dear Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj has been called back to Krishna. It's a very, very auspicious journey for many months. His body has been deteriorating and he's been blissfully for a long time still preaching, writing, giving classes, meeting many, many devotees. For the last some weeks he only Krishna Katha and Kirtan, surrounded by many loving disciples and many God brothers and the whole world, you know, witnessing practically, and was able to happily give up this body. He did a lot of service in that body, but he understood it's not mine. It can't last forever, and we should learn many things from these examples. And he left at this Gita Nagari, which is farmland. There's not very much farming there, like many of our farmland projects. At one time there was, when they first got that land, and Srila Prabhupada liked it very much. And in the last days of his life, he was saying, I didn't establish Varnashram, and I'll go to Gita Nagari and establish Varnashram. So devotees were asking, what do you mean by Varnashram? He said, I'll sit down at Gita Nagari and I will teach them to live off the land. That's what he wanted. They haven't done it yet, for various reasons. But Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj wanted that very much when he started staying there. Somehow or other, it hasn't happened.
But he chose to stay there, leave his body there at the time that he knew, you know, he could have traveled. He wasn't in such that bad shape. He could have gone to Mayapur or Vrindavan. But he chose to stay there because he wanted to make a point of the importance of these projects, these rural projects that Prabhupada wanted. And that one he actually visited and was so happy to when they showed him all the different crops that were growing and the cows. So he made that point, and it's not only for that place but for this one also. Produce your own grains and vegetable food, Prabhupada said, then you're economic problems will be solved.
Also will be
much healthier. So we are all here temporarily, and we should be desiring, you know, that I can just have the desire to serve Krishna, to chant the holy name incessantly without stopping. That's the word that's always there, nityam bhagavata sevaya, every day, regularly, always, satyatam kirtayanto ma, kirtaniya sadahari, always chanting the holy name, always, not just sometimes, not for even a few hours of the day, and the rest of the day, something else, but even our rounds should be very fixed and careful. I think we should chant all the time, no matter almost anywhere we are. That's our goal.
then we get the purified desire to just serve Krishna, to be with Krishna. People, we're wanting so many things. The desire is the only function of the soul. The soul can't do anything. We just desire, and then Krishna makes all the arrangements to fulfill the desire. And then usually we complain, why is this happening? Right? And Prabhupada gave different examples. He said, some, you know, we're complaining. Well, and then Krishna's in the heart, he's saying, but last week he wanted this. And we don't even understand. We have so many mixed up desires. And then when we get what we ordered, we don't like it. Like they have, when people go shopping, what do they call it? Impulsive shopping. They just go crazy in the store and they just buy things, you know. Right? Because there's so many things and there's announcements. I don't know if they do that here in America. Attention, ladies and gentlemen, go over to the tire section. We have a sale and get over there right away. And it's only 5 minutes. And people, and they run over there and they buy something and they get home and they go, I don't want this, you know. And some stores, you know, but they have a thing that says no refund, no return, you can't do it, you know. And the television shopping, you know, they're watching, and or the computer shopping, and you bought something, and the next day it comes and you say, I don't want this. But you ordered it. And then Krishna has to fulfill everyone's desires, so Prabhupada is explaining, it's very difficult to be God. I'm sitting in my house and I'm praying to God that no thief will come in my house. Right? Please protect me. And the thief is outside praying to God, please let me get in there. And Krishna has to take care of everybody. And somehow he does it. So some desires, you know, some of the things we're getting are from very old desires. Some are from very recent. But our real thing is to purify the desire, just get the right desire. I want Krishna. You know, what, we don't need anything else. Just want to serve Krishna. That's what we need. We may have other things we utilize along the way to try to serve Krishna. But ultimately, one can serve Krishna without any, you know, we don't need. We may have a desire, I want to serve Krishna by in this way or that way or this way or that way. And so I need a supercomputer and I need a this and I need a, you know, all these things. It would be nice, but you can serve Krishna in any condition, whatever the condition he puts us in. And understand, everything belongs to Krishna. Nirmama nirahamkara. Nothing is mine and I'm not this body. Simple, it sounds so simple. That many people say, yeah, I know that. Let's talk about higher things. But then how much do we really know that? How much do we really live on that principle? In Japan, there was one, he was a good friend, a really nice guy, hippie guy, and a translator, very intelligent. And he was attracted, even he had studied in America, and when he came back to Japan, he actually had Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita at that time, the little blue one, the first one. And he was thinking to translate that, but then he was too busy, you know, because other people, I was asking him to translate for money. But he was attracted. But I started to talk to him one time about, you know, vegetarian, because he wasn't a veggie. He said, yeah, we know that, and we learned that, and we heard that, and you know, in grade school, a Buddhist country, you know, they aren't vegetarian. Yeah, but let's talk about higher things. But how can you understand higher things if you don't, you know, if you're on the bodily platform of life, if you're sinful? People think like that. And these things are not higher or lower. It's, you know, Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita. It's the Bhagavad Gita. It's Krishna speaking. So it's higher or lower according to us, not according to Krishna. So when we develop this desire to serve Krishna, by serving Krishna and chanting, we'll get more desire. And by association with devotees, find devotees who are enthusiastic, who are doing their service, and associate with them and learn, just like you learn anything. you know, by association with other people who are doing that thing, right? Isn't it? I suppose here they have, I've seen sometimes in Chinese countries, in Hong Kong, or in Bangkok, in the park, in the morning especially, there's so many people doing this Tai Chi exercise. So there's a teacher, and then, you know, there's many. Some are coming for the first time, some are coming, you know, they've been there a long time, so the teacher's doing very, very nicely, and some of them are doing almost the same, and some of them are, you know, completely falling on their face, but they're just trying to follow. And if they keep coming, eventually they'll also do it nicely. The teacher will sometimes correct them. So that's how we learn. Krishna, associate with devotees. And then look for devotees who are enthusiastic, who are, you know, and serve them, work with them, whatever. And then our desires will become purified. Associate with Srila Prabhupada, who has perfect desire, only Krishna, by reading his purports. And just read them again and again and again. And the process works. And the dirty things in our heart and mind will get uncovered. And we'll realize that I'm just part and parcel of Krishna. And we can actually enter in to Krishna's pastimes, which are sublime in every way. We have Krishna book. Krishna with all his different relationships, the cowherd boys, playing and sporting. That's proper. That's, you know, when we were children also we liked to play, but it was always contaminated. But in the spiritual world, it's not contaminated. Krishna has also female friends, but that's pure also. No dirty things. Prabhupada said no abortions, none of those things. Pure. Your parents. He had pets. Krishna even had, you know, of course the cows were his favorite pets, but he had dog, he had monkey. Radharani had the parrots, and other pets. But especially they liked the cows. And they're all having relationships. Everyone is pure, everyone is just wanting to serve Krishna. It sounds like, you know, people think it's a story. It's very similar, the activities, to ordinary people. But the big difference is it's all centered around Krishna. It's all pure. Everyone is just thinking how to please Krishna. So we're all thinking how to please somebody, right? By our action, by our dress, by whatever we do, we're trying to please somebody. So if we just direct that towards Krishna, that we want to think, what will Krishna like, you know, what will he do? And work to please Krishna. Chanting pleases Krishna. Doing any kind of service at the temple pleases Krishna. You know, telling other people Krishna likes that. We can cook for Krishna. We can dress Krishna. We can make garlands for Krishna. We can do anything for Krishna. And that purify all our, you know, propensities. Utilize. He gave us this body, so utilize it for him, and then it's perfect. Then it becomes a perfect body that can take us back to God. All right. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
A little bit deck and see it a little bit, but during the day, I'm fully the body.
That's why we have to keep hearing these things. We've been conditioned in the bodies for many, many lifetimes. This body is only one, out of many. And all around us is the bodily concept of life is being promoted like anything. You are that body, right? That's the scientific, idea. So we utilize it for Krishna. It says that simply by dancing in front of the deities, that will get one off the bodily platform. No one understands what we really are. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Simply by dancing in front of the deities and chanting the holy name, that will, and clapping the hands, it said all these different stupid desires and sinful reactions are just like birds sitting on a wire, but if you make a loud noise, they all fly away. Sometimes we see that, you see a tree and you can't see any birds in the tree, but something scares them and all of a sudden so many birds fly out of the tree. Right? So it's like that. But then, there's so many, we have to keep at it. And it's coming back at us all the time. So, but by constantly hearing about Krishna and doing activities that are for Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna is not a bodily activity. It's a spiritual activity. And, decorating the deity and even cleaning the temple, all these things, it's actually for Krishna. And that will pull us out from this consciousness. We go up and down. We can be in a big kirtan and be in ecstasy and think, I don't want to ever do anything except chant ever again. And the kirtan ends and we suddenly doing a lot of other things. Right? And we forget to chant for some time. But gradually we get better and better. Just keep working at it. Krishna will help you. And if you're trying to serve Krishna and at the time death happens to come, if we've been trying, Krishna comes to take that person. Even they supposedly have not become perfect, purified yet. Any other? Hare Krishna. Finishing a day of Kija. She sing Achalam Bhakta Vrinda Kija. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari. ISKCON Founder Charges Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Kija.